Welcome back to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm Bridget's dad, Joe. I'm also hosting this show. So, hey, what do you know about that?
Yeah. Dad and I were just talking about Coen Brothers movies, and we decided, hey, we should probably switch gears and talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, we should probably switch gears. Coen Brothers movies and Star Trek are way
dissimilar.
dissimilar, I think, is the word for it. I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you of the body?
Joy to you, Dad.
Peace and tranquility be with you. now that we got that out of the way.
I forgot. I was going to say joy to you. I wanted to get that out first. Oh, well, you got me first.
Oh, I got you first. Okay, go for it. Okay.
Are you going to the festival?
I'm not going to the festival.
Are you going to the festival?
It's a festival of trees. I'm never going to that. I'm just like,
oh my gosh, I remember the festival of trees.
Yeah, you danced at it.
That was down at the River Center, right?
That's right. That was Bridget's like stage
appearance. The annual stage appearance.
The annual stage appearance
at the festival of trees.
Okay.
Shout out to QC.
Shout out to QC Festival of Trees, where you can go and see lots of trees. Be very festive. It's a wonderful place. You know, I often thought that I wanted to have a festival of bees instead of a festival of trees. I have a big place and then just open a jar full of bees and see what happens.
No, they call that movie Attack of the Killer Bees.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's possible. But I still think a festival of bees, because bees are important.
No. They are
very important. They're troubled right now, so we should really support our bees with a festival. So there you go. I'm just saying.
Public service announcement.
Yeah, PSA
from Dad.
Okay, from Dad.
Well, PSA is over.
PSA. Okay. So what's new in La La Land?
So Dad is eagerly awaiting to hear my story about Lieutenant Tasha Yar.
Sweet.
So I got invited to see a staged reading in Los Angeles that Denise Crosby was at. And she was great. The whole play was great. I really enjoyed myself. It was a good night, which is great because I had all these great things to say about the play. So like there's your in right there. All you have to do is just be like, man, this show was so good. I didn't have to lie or anything. It was so good.
Sweet.
But
Pee Wee Herman says everybody has a big butt.
Every other episode, we have to put a Pee Wee Herman quote in.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just, I said goodbye to my friend and I saw Denise Crosby was still there. And I had already, I made all these big goodbyes. I said goodbye to like so many people. And I was with a friend that was super cold and tired and wanted to go. And so when I turned around and I saw Denise Crosby, I just let her walk right past me.
Moment denied.
I know. Okay, in my defense, I had used up all my courage earlier in the day. Because I went up to the screenwriter of The Deer Hunter.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I almost did it. And then I was like, no, I have an in. I'm doing it. And so I went up to him and I said, oh, my gosh. Like, Dad, Deer Hunter. Most influential movie. I fangirled a little bit. And he was super nice about it. And he was interested in me, and we talked about Casablanca, and it was cool. But yeah, so I kind of used up all my energy on that guy, I guess.
Well, speaking of that, hashtag sad.
Denied.
That too. But hashtag sad. John Mahoney, who was in Frasier, and a Coen Brothers movie called
The Dad.
Fink, yeah.
Yeah.
He passed away yesterday.
No.
Oh, it's very sad. Very
oh,
sad.
Oh, no.
But the cool thing about it is I read he lived in Oak Park. Okay. My thing was like, oh, holy cannoli. You know, what if he shopped where Jerry shopped? And what if he went to the same coffee shop? And, you know, we could have walked past him on the street when we were going down to the Chinese restaurant. And, you know, it just really kind of freaked me out that that's where he lived.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
He didn't want to live in LA because it wasn't real.
You know, who else did Jerry see? Jerry saw Tom Lennon, I think his name is. He's a comedian. And he saw him at a bar in his neighborhood too. And I read that he's from there as well. So I was like, man, he must go. I feel like a lot of people from Chicago probably go back and stay in Chicago.
Yeah, I think it's just such a good city. We had our pictures taken the other day, professional photographer thing. And the photographer was talking about how, you know, her, I don't know, I didn't quite get it. Was her boyfriend a roadie with Eddie Vedder? But I was like, holy cow, Eddie Vedder, he's from Chicago. And I was totally fanboying out on this thing.
Eddie Vedder's from Chicago?
Oh, yeah, Eddie Vedder's from Chicago. Not Chicago, but outside of Chicago.
You know who Eddie Vedder is?
Hashtag Pearl Jam. Oh, yeah. I totally know
okay,
who
you
is.
Never played Pearl Jam for me when I was a kid.
No, of course not. Of course not. But Eddie Vedder is a super Cubs reference, super Cubs fan.
Oh my God. Of course.
That's why I know him, because he shows up at Cubs games all the time and he sings songs.
To our listeners, not only is Dad a big Star Trek fan, but spoilers, he's a big Cubs fan too.
Well, we just lost St. Louis.
Did we make it three games? No longer listen to our podcast in St. Louis. We made it two episodes.
We love you.
Without talking about the Cubs. I think that's pretty good, everyone. That's pretty good.
So, okay. So there you go. I did mention Rizzo in the first episode. It was just a different Rizzo.
Yeah. That was Red Shirt Rizzo.
Red Shirt Rizzo. So there you go. So
all right,
good.
So we are here. Do you have any more mail or anything?
No, I think we did. I think we covered it. I will save my other story for later when we're, you know, bored out of our skull and we don't have anything to talk about.
All right, cool. Well, that's fine.
We talked about, our brushes with stardom. I'm 6 degrees away from Eddie Vedder. Okay.
Probably.
Somehow.
Probably.
Because this woman took my picture. Mm-hmm. God, I'm 6 degrees away from Hedy.
Oh,
Bell.
Right.
There you go.
Cool. I want to give a shout out to my friend Lauren. This is a dad and daughter podcast, and she has been listening to it with her dad.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Is that the Lauren that you knew in high school?
No, it's my Lauren friend here.
Oh, well, hello, Lauren friend there. maybe we will meet someday and I can shake your hand.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening out there. One of our two or three listeners that we have. I think there's three, maybe four confirmed listeners.
Yes.
Somebody said, I listened to the first half and then got bored. And I said,
it
gets better. It gets better.
You know, and they say that just people aren't honest anymore.
I know. This is, they weren't Star Trek fans. This wasn't a Star Trek fan. He just was listening because he wanted to hear your voice.
Uh-huh.
Wanted to see who Bridget was.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out Brian. And he said you are a very lovely lady. So
there we go.
Very, you know. So hey,
isn't that special?
That is special. I think he was just kissing up because I work with him and he wanted me to do stuff. So
all right, Dad, why did you pick this episode, the original series, Return of the Archons?
Return of the Archons. It is original series, season one, episode 21. Mm-hmm. And it first aired on February 9th, Friday.
It's coming up.
In 1967. Why did I pick this? Well, I picked it for a couple reasons. One, because the last episode of our podcast, we talked about Card shot that guy and blew up his head.
I did not research phaser technology
He shot that guy and blew up his head. And I said, he should have just talked to him like Kirk did. And his head would have blown up anyway.
Yeah.
And so and then it's also, Return of the Archons is also an episode where people like are changed and taken over by an unseen force.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in Conspiracy, where they were all being manipulated by these aliens, whereas in Return of the Archons, they're all being manipulated by an overarching governmental entity.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is being forced into doing the will of the overarching governmental entity. So that So I thought there was like some sort of synergy between the two episodes.
Yeah.
And I went, hey, let's just do this one because we can continue on with the idea of mind control, shall we say.
As you said, too, like Body Snatchers is a overall, science fiction theme that occurs a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So and
there's two different examples of it.
Exactly. And in this episode, that's kind of what was going on as well. It was a Body Snatchers thing. We can talk about this later, but it was an indictment of communism, for one thing. And I can explain that when we get to it. And yeah, so I just thought, granted, it's still 60s television and it's still kind of stinky in a lot of ways. I'm willing to admit that.
Okay, it's not as bad as those first two pilots, but it's better than that. But.
Hey, the first pilot, in defense of the cage, they did have a first officer who was a very strong, forceful female character.
Yes,
okay,
that's
she
right.
was number one.
And then they just made her the computer.
Yeah, well, later on, but still, she was, she was with it, and she was very forceful, and she was, competent and everything. And then the NBC exec said, a woman in that role? Are you kidding? It's the 1960s. They were backward, but that is what I love
about going back to, and watching these. I love seeing the amount of different, people that they cast in this. It's not all a completely white male cast. And
for
that being the 60s, like that show really did like change
things. And there was a lot of things about it. I mean, this is all Roddenberry. I mean, Roddenberry just was,
he knew the future was going to be like that. And so like he made it a point.
He was trying to prepare people and say, look, this is the way it should be.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was good. So, Return of the Archons. Do you want to, shall we start with how it began?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, I'll just give you the teaser at the beginning before the credits.
Sure.
Sulu is running down a street. And with a O'Neill, who is like his sidekick at the time, and they're dressed in clothes that resemble, say, Revolutionary War time. They're not.
I was thinking like turn of the century, 20th century.
No. They had ruffles.
Maybe 1800s, but I thought turning into 19.
Yeah, 17 turning into 18 because they had tri-corner hats on and stuff like that.
Oh, did so, they?
Yeah, they did. You didn't notice?
Yeah, that? But their dresses just seemed straight out of
Civil War or after. That was later because they were dressed wrong, and that's how Sulu said, oh, they don't wear these clothes. They caught on to us right away.
Okay.
So later on, they dressed in more like the 1870s, but when Sulu showed up, they were dressed more like, you know, Revolutionary War guys or
turn 1800s,
you know, kind of like Johnny Depp in Sleepy Hollow.
Right.
Kind of the way they were dressed.
Yeah,
anyway,
totally.
Being is,
I didn't catch that. Sorry.
Yeah, the point being is, so Sulu beams up right after he gets absorbed by one of the hooded characters who's called a lawgiver. And he shows up in the Enterprise and they're like dumbfounded because it's like he's on LSD or something. I mean, he's completely, oh man, it's paradise.
I wrote Sulu's tripping balls.
Yeah, he was. He was like, oh man, I'm so groovy. I mean, you know, if he was smoking pot, he probably smoked a Bob Marley thing, or you know, or at least a Cheech and Chong one, which is like about, you know, like, whoo. And, you know, and he was like, whoa, I'm so grooving now.
He's grooving.
Yeah, so and that's what they do when the lawgivers absorb you. So anyway, we can go on from here.
Yeah.
So what was next? You take it. Take it away, Bridget.
We gotta figure out what's going on with Sulu. So Kirk takes a landing party and they go down and they investigate. And you know, okay, so they're in this Western town, like America West, Old West. And that's the way everyone's dressed like, so that's why we were trying to figure out 1800s or whatever. But you know, when I didn't realize that these were humans.
You thought they were robots?
I thought this was just the 1960s budget idea of aliens. I thought they're like, oh, we need to make a planet full of aliens. We don't have a budget, so let's just make them dressed like the Civil War era, I guess, or something.
Yeah, that could be it. And, you know, and it's true, they did not have a budget, and this will show up later on in the series.
It was a little explained, like it said that, you know, they were purposely dressed it for that time period or whatever.
Right.
Because that was a simpler time.
Yeah, it was a simpler time. But the other thing about that is that they were humanoid aliens. And that whole thing gets explained in Star Trek Next Generation in a completely different episode.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's an episode in Next Gen where Picard finds a common thread throughout the galaxy of where some master race way back in time seeded the entire galaxy with DNA from a master race. And that's why there are so many humanoids throughout the galaxy.
Even though
Roddenberry didn't think of that at the time because of his budget, it's still explained that there's a reason why that these guys are humanoids, but we'll find that out in 30 years anyway.
So the whole reason why they go to this planet is because there was a spaceship called the Archon that disappeared there 100 years ago. So they decide, you know what, let's go to that planet. Let's see if we can find a wreck or see if we can ask people what happened to this ship. And so that's why they're there in the first place. But now they're like, oh, something's wrong with Sulu. So now we really got to investigate. So they go down to this town and everyone's walking around like zombies. Like they're not even tripping, really. They're just walking around with mindless. And this dude comes up and asks if everyone's going to the festival. He asks
that was a particularly weird part. Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk, he doesn't say his name, but he's like, you must be from the valley. You're going to the festival, are you?
it was particularly bizarre. But hey,
it's so weird. Which I thought, well, it's funny because now I'm going to really digress because it just made me think of the fact that they were like, oh, yes, we're from the valley. It made me think of how
on their feet. Come on.
Yeah, I know. But everyone here in Los Angeles, calls, half of LA is the valley and the other half is just LA. But it's all Los Angeles.
Oh, I get it.
It's all Los Angeles. But it's funny because people that are born here, if they're in the valley, you'll say, hey, so where do you live? They'll go LA.
Right.
But you're in LA. No. I'm in the valley. I live in LA.
Well, there you go.
Made me think of that. That was a
common theme throughout a lot of episodes of Star Trek. If you showed up and you were, even in Next Gen, if you showed up and you were a stranger, they would say, oh yeah, I'm from the valley. I think Data did that once in
really?
One of the episodes. Yeah, he was like, he was.
All right, listeners, look it up and let us know.
GTS, Google that stuff.
GTS.
There we go.
We
got to move on.
Oh, yeah. So the clock strikes 6 o'clock and we're out of time. Doesn't matter what happens. The festival has started now.
Exactly. Everybody just completely changes.
Everyone goes nuts. They wreak havoc. They're kissing Kirk. Just freaking out. Yeah, it's a riot. They're
crashing windows, burning things. They're hitting each other on the head with boards. It's just mass hysteria. Dogs and cats living together.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
Well, I also thought of is this the Purge or
exactly
what?
That was my thought too. It was like the Purge. Only 50 years ago, they did the Purge isn't really a new idea.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So it's just, the festival is one night from 6 to 6 where everyone in the town can get freaky and wreak havoc.
Right. They didn't really explain why they needed a festival.
I thought that too.
And they didn't really explain, again, they didn't even explain how often this happens. Does it happen every day at 6 o'clock or once a month or once a week or once a year or once a decade? I don't know. They never really explained that. But
nope. It
didn't, I guess that didn't matter. Oh, and the other thing that I thought about the festival was crazy was like, okay, so when the festival was over, everybody went back to just being like zombies, right?
Yeah.
Except for the one girl who went to see her dad and she was like, oh, I'm crying. And I'm like, oh, this was terrible. And I was like, wait a minute. Aren't you being controlled by Landru anymore?
Well, if her dad is faking it, maybe she was faking it too.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's an idea.
I mean, I just pulled that out of my butt, but.
Oh, okay. Well, you can do that. You can do that. But hey, it's possible. I guess I never really thought of it that way, but I just was like, cause she was out, earlier she was like, oh yes, well, we're all ready to go to festival, and she,
yes,
oh yes, you, my daddy, well, she, can, yeah. My daddy can put you up, yes,
yeah. So she's like, go to my dad's hotel. Maybe that was her way of, maybe she knew, maybe she was faking it, maybe she knew that they were not of the body, so she's like, go to my dad's hotel, he'll help you out.
Well, they didn't. Well, here the dad didn't seem to think when they showed up at the hotel. Dad didn't really understand that they weren't of the body. Took him a long time to figure that out. Anyway, yeah. So of the body means you've been absorbed by Landru.
Mm-hmm.
And Landru, if we can skip forward a little bit,
uh-huh.
Landru is the person who controls the entire society.
Yeah,
He controls their minds. He controls everything about the society. I didn't understand how commerce happened, how they made things. They all seem to be just walking around. All they seem to do was walk.
I thought
through,
about that too. I was like, when do they eat?
You don't eat. You just walk through the streets very slowly. Kind of a silly walk, kind of a thing.
It's but, It was very like chill. It was like Children of the Corn. They were just walking and they would pick up their boards and they would go after you.
They were totally zombies. Yeah, they were total, you know, they were being controlled every minute. But my guess was they must have jobs.
I don't know, man.
You know, I don't know if they had a, you know, did anybody work? Did any of them? None of that was explained, but I guess it didn't matter because, you know, Kirk, Spock, and company were pretty much confused most of the time.
They've been, Landru's been in control of these people for, I mean, at least 100 years ago, this plane crashed, or the, you know, on the planet.
It crashed, It wasn't a 747, it was a starship.
Yeah, but they even say, oh, did I say plane?
This isn't Scientology, baby.
Okay. Oh, well, I thought Landru kind of sounded a little Scientology.
Well, a little.
The fact that everyone was just, oh, are you of the body? I don't know.
Well, that could very well be. Don't get those people on our case now. We love you, Scientologists.
Okay. No, the way we love all humans equally.
Way we love everyone.
Anyway.
All we can do is console and everything.
Hashtag dad doesn't want trolls.
Hashtag
no trolls.
Hashtag no Landru. But
hashtag no Landru.
Anyway, Landru.
So anyway, Landru.
He had been around for 6,000 years.
Yeah.
That's what we find out later.
Yeah. We can skip.
Because I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it's all blah, blah, blah. Okay, not going to lie. This is the part of the episode where I had to watch this episode 3 times because I fell asleep at this exact same part twice.
Okay. Hashtag, what is this? Hashtag confessions.
Yeah.
I fell asleep too.
You fell asleep too.
I was always watching it late at night when mom was in bed because mom, while she loves Star Trek, may actually not be a fan of the 60s version.
Oh my gosh.
She will do that, and to her credit, she will actually watch it with me. And you know what? I don't know why she doesn't get, you know, because Uncle Bill Shatner, he was a cutie back then. I mean, you know, looking at this, watching this episode, looking at that little curly hair. I mean, he was a cutie. Boy, and you know what? Here's the other thing that I noticed in this episode, watching this, some of the close-ups, I was going, wow, he really looks like Chris Pine.
I thought that too, actually.
Oh, my.
I really appreciated Chris Pine's casting at one point too. I saw that too.
Yeah, except for the hair.
Except for the hair. Chris Pine clearly has like 21st century.
Yeah, if he had a little bit better do on him.
Yeah.
I'd be like going, bam, smack, he is down. This is so awesome. They are, they're separated at birth by 50 years.
Yeah, they did some pretty good casting in the new version, huh?
Well, and Chris Pine does a great job too. I'm not dissing his acting chops.
Oh no, he's great.
I think he does a great job, and without going into it, I love the character interplay in the movie.
Lord knows you and I have had plenty of arguments about the Star Trek movie.
Okay, but we digress.
We don't need to do that here. Okay, I do want to ask you something.
Okay.
Do you think they came up with the name Landru because it was originally Andrew and they were like, well, we got to make it different than that. So.
Oh, Andrew? Seriously? I didn't see that. So, where did you see that?
No, I'm just, that's what Eric pitched to me. Eric was like,
Andrew?
You know, it was probably Andrew, and then some intern was like, you know, you should call it Landru.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing. If you GTS Landru,
yeah,
you get both Return of the Archons and a serial killer from France in the 1920s. He was a serial killer who dismembered his hashtag put the kids away.
Yeah.
Okay, who dismembered his victims and baked them in an oven. So it would seem both Landrews were sinister characters.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that up. Well, I GTS'd, you know, Landrew in order to find a picture so I could create an icon, not an archon.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
For our website. Okay, so I was like, I had to make an icon of Landrew for the website. So
describe to the listeners what Landrew looks like.
I love his do. I think his hairdo is the best. Okay, he's got a pompadour thing going for him with a little swoop on the side.
Yeah,
and very dark baggy eyes. But yeah, he's kind of a normal guy.
He's like if a drug addict from the 60s went to a David Bowie concert or something.
Or a day spa at the very least. He got like a really nice do. But they didn't do much for the dark circles under his eyes. I don't know.
Well, that was to make him creepy.
Oh, yeah. He was a little creepy. He was very creepy. Yeah, so. Oh, so anyway, so
figure out that Landrew is not a guy. He's been a computer the whole time.
Oh, you skipped way too far. Anyway. I did want to talk, though, about, yes, they chase our landing party through the streets.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they wind up in a dungeon.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of a safe house dungeon. As opposed to the actual dungeon that they wind up in later, which are fairly similar.
It's a pre-dungeon.
Yeah, but this dungeon was the good dungeon, and then there was a bad dungeon.
Right.
They were really similar in their appearance. Anyway. But that's where, in the good dungeon is where we find out the story of Landrew, of how, he helped this society out of chaos 6,000 years ago by imposing this will upon everyone. There was no crime. There was no want. There was nothing. No war, no disease. All these things were gone, but there was also no freedom.
Right.
Because everybody is a zombie. Basically, but they weren't dead zombies. They were living zombies. Living zombies, I guess you could call them. They just walked around very slowly and said,
joy to you.
Peace be with you, friend.
Peace and tranquility.
Be with you always. Yes.
So
joy and harmony. Are you of the body?
Are you of the body? So then they find out Landrew's been a computer the whole time.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. Yes, we go back to that. But the thing is, okay, so Kirk and company are almost absorbed because they get captured by the Lawgivers. Now, the Lawgivers, I thought, were a precursor to the Death Eaters.
Totally
Death Eaters, except for they didn't have masks, like metal masks, but they did have a wand. It was a very big wand, but it was still a wand, which they did their magic with,
Wasn't it just like an empty pipe at one point, or was that in my dream?
It was a hollow tube, which to me is like, okay, it could have been a wand because it didn't have any mechanism. It just performed the magic.
Well, and the fact that they have these long, very Harry Potter or Jedi cloaks that they walk around in. Yeah.
They were brown, but if they were black, I would have said, look, it's Severus
Snape. The Death Eater.
Oh my goodness, But yeah, and they certainly didn't have the attitude. The same Death Eater attitude.
No, because they were...
They were zombies.
They were zombies, yeah.
Yeah, they were,
zombie head.
Oh, they were more zombie than the rest of the culture. They were under deep control in that they couldn't even think for themselves.
Yeah. You are not of the body. Landrew must kill you or whatever. We must tell Landrew that you are here. And then they would have a telepathic conversation with Landrew.
Exactly. Kirk kept like defying them and they would freak out. They wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, they were always like, you are not of the body. Well, we're telling Landru on you.
Yeah, they just kind of sat there. Does not compute. Well, I think that was kind of what that was going on.
Anyway.
These guys were, so Kirk ends up, they end up escaping because they got captured. And even McCoy got turned into like a zombie.
McCoy got absorbed.
Yeah. But here's the thing. This is what I thought was kind of weird. Okay. All of these people were so peaceful, right?
Uh-huh.
They were very peaceful.
Yeah.
Until
you defied them.
Well, you know, McCoy wanted to beat him up. It's like, wait a minute. I thought there was no war, unless it was the.
But they inherently knew they needed to stop somebody that was against Landru.
Oh, you think he was like a white blood cell?
Yes, that is correct. When everybody is a white blood cell, there's nothing to attack.
Yeah, okay. Well, that could very well be it. So maybe that's, I was like going, wait a minute, you shouldn't be attacking Kirk. You should just be going, lawgivers, come rescue me from this not of the body person. Yeah. But instead, and the other thing is I thought, you know, Kirk really didn't punch him, but he knocked him out. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, I think he, like, Dexter did a sleeper hold.
Oh, you think? On him.
Oh, which, you know, hail to the fact that Spock used his Vulcan neck pinch in this episode as well.
And he also tried to do the mind meld.
Oh, yeah, with McCoy.
It was an early attempt at the mind. They called it the mind probe back then.
When did it change to the mind meld?
We all know that's what aliens do. They probe.
Right.
So hashtag dad joke.
Sometimes it does seem like it does feel weird that Spock's the only alien.
That's true.
On the crew.
They fixed that in Next Gen, though. They had a few aliens.
You had a Betazoid, an Android, and a Klingon all on the bridge.
Yeah, on the bridge. So. And the blue guy that cut hair. I don't know where he was from. He was a blue guy. So they had a few here and there. So it's good to have aliens around. We all love them.
So. Then they find out that Landry's been a computer the whole time.
That's right. They find out. Well, here's the thing about that finding out, though. Because when they got, okay, so Kirk says, okay, you need to take us to Landru. And they're like, oh my God, no. He will hear us. We are going to obey you. We're not going. And it's like, no. Kirk says, buck up, you know?
Yeah.
This is the one that I liked. It's time you learned freedom isn't free. Oh, come on. I mean, that was like a commercial for America. I get that. And I love America. Don't make trolls. I love America. I'm loving America. But here's the thing. I mean, it's like, oh, so that's why I say I think this was. Overarchingly, the entire show was an indictment of communism.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because, okay.
Because of that.
Because of stuff like that. So they go in, and by the way, pay attention to the set when they go into the Hall of Audiences, because they used that set like about four different times.
Oh, really?
Throughout the series. Oh, yeah. It was like so many times that, and I had seen it before and I was like, oh my goodness. Now I know how cheap this was. They couldn't build new sets. They had to use the same ones over and over again. So they went into this Hall of Audiences.
Uh-huh.
And Kirk goes, oh, well, let's blast a hole in the wall.
Well, they were blasting the projection of Landru.
Right. So they blew a hole in the wall, and suddenly there's just a little room back there with a computer in it. Like a small computer.
Well, it's like four refrigerators.
Four refrigerators computer. Wow, that was really an amazing computer. Here's the thing that I was like wondering about was like, okay, first, this entire world is being controlled by Landry the computer, correct?
Uh-huh.
How lucky of me to land in the very city where the computer lives.
Because apparently there's millions of people on this planet.
On this planet, right. And
yeah,
they just picked the one place that's the center of all of this stuff. It was like, and you know, that luck continues because throughout the entire series, they always wound up in the one place that controlled the entire society.
Mm-hmm.
They landed in a city where there is controlled by gangsters, and it's this is the place where all the gangsters hang out.
Maybe Sulu, or would it be Chekhov? Maybe he's just really good at his job.
I don't know. I know one of them. Somebody seems to figure out.
Where has Chekhov been?
He's not in this season. He doesn't show up until maybe season two. When does Chekhov show up? I got a GTS at. I think it was season two.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, season two. I think. Ensign Chekhov. You know, he showed up in the series because he had long hair, and they were trying to compete with the monkeys. the TV show, the monkeys. They needed a hippie kind of kid. Young guy. So that was why he showed up. Anyway,
sure.
To me, it always seemed amazing that they showed up in the one town where the entire world is being governed from. No matter what episode they were talking about, we'll find this again and again and again. It was just a happy circumstance. And the other thing is, I don't know, did you ever see the movie Forbidden Planet?
I saw Planet of the Vampires?
No, that's not Forbidden Planet.
I don't know if I did.
So Forbidden Planet. Oh, wait a minute. I was thinking about that. It's basically the story, the Shakespearean story, The Tempest.
Uh-huh.
But set in
the future.
Future time, spacefaring people.
Probably 1999.
No, way, way, way in the far future. But Forbidden Planet, I've always said that was the inspiration for Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Because in Forbidden Planet, there was this galactic organization, and this spaceship came from the galactic organization to investigate a planet, and they landed and they sent out a landing party, and it was always the captain and a couple people, and they investigated stuff. And anyway,
interesting.
Forbidden Planet is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You need to watch it. You do too, listener.
Yes, dear listener.
Yes. Oh, and the cool thing about Forbidden Planet, it won the Academy Award, I think, I want to say. It won the Academy for special effects.
Oh, yes.
In its day, it was the greatest special effects movie around. And why? Because all the monsters were Disney animated.
Ooh.
And it had Robbie the Robot in it, too.
Ooh.
Who showed up in a ton of things. But anyway, in that story, a guy was trying to protect his daughter from the outside world, which is the same Tempest. Story as The Tempest.
Yeah.
And he was a little wacky and he had some problems. But anyway, there was a machine that kind of controlled the world there too.
Ah, interesting.
But it was like 5 miles deep and 20 miles wide. And it's just gigantic. And I would have thought that Landru would have been more than like 3 refrigerators.
Yeah.
Okay. And when he blew up, I would have thought he would have taken out at least a city block.
Sure. Yeah. And tell the listeners how he blows up.
Oh, well, here, this is one of the 5 or 6 times during the original series where Kirk, through logic, talks his antagonist, shall we say, his adversary, into blowing itself up. Okay.
Which I think it's funny that he's like, Spock, what's going on here? And Spock goes, it sounds like Landru might be a machine. And Kirk is like, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, whatever, Kirk. Whatever, you didn't know. Kirk.
You were thinking that. You were waiting for that. Spock to like
you say, had to hey, wait for cool. Spock to say it.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I get that. And the other thing was like, you know, Kirk's sitting there talking to the computer going, you know, there's no creativity, no spark in this society. And Spock says, that's the key. It's the prime directive. And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, if you just listen to Kirk's argument, I wouldn't blow myself up.
Yeah,
over that argument.
It was a stretch. You
know, I would totally not blow myself up over that argument.
Yeah,
I'd say,
Kirk.
You know, if I was Landry the computer, I would have said, forget you, dude. I'm doing fine. Okay? Everybody's fine here. We're all fine.
Kirk basically
hashtag Star Wars joke
hashtag Han Solo. Okay, so we've got Pee-wee, Ghostbusters, and Star Wars quotes in here today.
Oh, wait a minute, I've done a Love couple it. Others that you didn't even catch, but go ahead.
I just forgot them already, no offense. We're doing good. Kirk basically says, hey, you don't allow people to be free. That makes you evil. And Landru goes, Matt, I'm Landru. I'm not evil. And Kirk goes, yes, you are evil. And then Landru goes, ow, I'm evil. And then
exactly. And then he blows up. And it's like, well, no. There's got to be a better argument here. I mean, seriously.
That's all it took.
This is as good an, you know, this is as good an argument that, you know, that I don't know. If I was, if that was the argument for letting me off of a, you know, a parking ticket, I think I'd be paying my fine, you know, because I don't think the judge would be going like, no way, buddy.
Yeah, right.
That is a terrible argument. And, you know, but Kirk did that a lot. You know, that was his shtick. You know, he talked a lot of people into destroying themselves. So,
Interesting.
But hey, that's good. You know, that was however, well, that was, but his whole spiel there, if you listen to it, that's why I say it was an indictment of communism, because, you know, there was creativity was left to the state. Everything was left to the state. There was nothing that individuals could contribute other than what the state wanted them to contribute.
Sure.
And so, and that's why, you know, it was kind of ham-fisted, but...
Well, it also felt like the festival was like a comment on like the hippies or something.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, all these people burning their bras in the street. And hey, they're clearly doing a bunch of drugs out there. They're bad.
That could very well be it.
They're protesting or something. Rioting in the streets.
Well, that's true. They were protesting and rioting, but... These weren't the worst riots, because this was 1967, 66. And in fact, I'm looking at the Star Trek wiki right now.
Oh,
#MemoryAlpha.
#.
And shout out Memory Alpha. Anyway, it would seem that this screenplay started as a story idea in 1964. So it took like over 2 years, 2.5 years. Well, 1.5 years. 64. It started in July, but they didn't film until December of 66. So right. That would be Yeah, two and a half years.
Start till the 66. So
yeah, something like that. So it took them a while to get this one made. So and they weren't necessarily rioting. There were protests for sure in the early 60s, but the riots didn't really come until the late 60s. Not if you don't count, you know, race riots. Race riots were definitely going on.
Yeah, the civil rights.
But hippie riots. Yeah, hippie riots weren't going
on.
Were
later. Yeah. Maybe it was foreshadowing.
Oh, could have been. Could have been. Oh. So anyway.
Well.
So.
Dad.
Kirk blew up the computer and everybody's happy. They all, like, you know, hold hands, sing kumbaya. And they, you know, beam back up, you know, and every, you know, and it's like, oh, we're going to leave two guys on this planet to help them straighten out their society. And I'm going, that's the other thing. I'm thinking,
oh, what? Like how we leave armies in the countries after we've had war.
Yeah, but that's an army. This is two guys.
Two guys. Millions of people.
Yeah, it would have been better if it had been two dope queens. They could have like helped out a lot, but these two guys were like, oh, give me a break. It's not happening.
Okay. My favorite part of the whole episode.
Yes.
Is when Kirk's calling up to Scotty and says, Scotty, is the ship okay? And he's like, yes. Is Sulu okay? And Scotty goes, yes, Sulu's acting much better now. And Sulu looks back at Scotty and just kind of shrugs like, oopsie whoopsie, I don't know what happened to me.
And then he's like, hey, I'm relieving you. I'm back on the job.
And he's like, oops. Hey.
I don't know what happened. I was freaked out. I get it. I saw that and I was like, you know, oh, suddenly everybody's not fine now. Okay. Well,
yep, hey, everyone's fine. So did you like the last moment of the episode when Kirk tells Spock, you'd make a splendid computer?
I thought that was very condescending. Even though Spock took it as a compliment.
Spock goes, wow, thanks so much, friend. Like, man, you're my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, fine. Whatever. So, I know. Spock just, you know, he was still searching out his character at the time, I think. I think he was still working on it.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate him being the butt of Kirk's joke there at the end.
Well, yeah, it's true.
That wasn't as good of an ending as the last two.
You know, HR, they should have. If Spock was having a problem, he should have contacted HR.
Who would that have been? Uhura? Wait, is Uhura not there either? She was in Arena. She just wasn't in this episode.
Yeah, she was. She was there. She was, you know, contacting the surface, and she was sitting next to Scotty when he was talking about the heat beams. She's totally there.
All right.
So...
All right, Dad.
Okay, so Bridget, what would Picard do?
Okay.
I think if he was going to, he's
got a lot of logic himself.
So if he
was going to talk to the computer to death, I feel like he would have done it in a more theatrical way. He would have done it with
a British accent, no doubt. No doubt. And that would have lended some gravitas to the entire thing.
Yeah, I think he would have been more of, he would have made it more theatrical. He would have been creativity.
Exactly.
Love does not endure.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, he probably would have done the same thing. Or, you know, he could have, you know, asked Data just to, like, you know, connect his brain to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Or he could have gotten like a little tiny piece of wire and, you know, punched a couple little buttons on his communicator and it would have shorted everything.
Oh, Data.
Well, yeah. Did you ever notice that in Next Gen, how there were always I can't see tiny things, and here they're like fixing stuff with a tiny shard of of wire, and they're okay. Wait,
were they MacGyver?
I just reprogrammed my communicator to be an atomic weapon.
Yeah, like, sure.
No,
sure.
You can't do that. No,
that's what they would have done.
They could have.
Dad, do you have a quote for the wall of quotes this episode?
Oh, a quote?
Yeah.
Oh, from this episode?
Yeah. I don't know that I don't know if there was one that I really loved.
Oh, well, you know, you are not of the body. That pretty much says it all.
That, you know, that says it all. It's going on the wall.
It's going on the wall. You are not of the body. You are not of the body.
Yeah.
Did you have a red shirt?
I was going
to
suggest.
Before we do red shirts.
Oh, what?
You can suggest one. Okay. Does he actually have a red shirt this time?
No, nobody did.
Doesn't have to be from this episode.
I thought it did.
No, it doesn't have to be from this episode. Nobody actually dies in this episode.
Yeah, everybody, our red shirt dedication is flawed this episode because nobody died.
Well, no,
I was thinking. Well, I thought O'Neill was probably a red shirt, and
he had a brown coat on.
And O'Neill technically comes back in season 3 for an episode, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well before we go on, on my script, we don't have a script, we have an outline. On my outline,
okay.
I have interesting Star Trek facts.
Ooh.
It's time for interesting Star Trek facts.
Okay.
So, do you have one?
No.
Anything that you saw in your research of this episode that you found like?
I found nothing interesting.
I found out something really great today.
Okay.
While talking to a coworker, this is a credible source.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that Spock does not like Nutella.
Spock or Leonard Nimoy?
Spock. He doesn't like Nutella, the hazelnut, delicious hazelnut chocolate spread that we all know and love, which,
what's
by the way,
wrong with him?
Today is World Nutella Day. And we were talking about Nutella and how we all love Nutella. And somebody said, well, you know, Spock doesn't like it. I said, seriously, are you kidding me? No, it has too much nuts and not enough Ella. So there you go. I just thought I would bring that up.
Hashtag dad jokes.
Hashtag dad jokes.
All right.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Find a reference where Spock says, I love Nutella. I don't think so. You're not going to find
it. I'm not going to find it.
You're not going to find it.
What theory is that?
It's a Star Trek theory coming from a credible source.
Right.
So, there you go. So anyway, I thought I would bring that up just because, you know, Bridget, you're not buying it. I can see you're not buying it. Okay. Interesting Star Trek facts. We may have more of these in the future.
We'll see.
Star Trek facts.
We'll see. I don't know if anyone's going to top that one, though, Dad. All right. Well, I think that's about wraps it up for me.
You didn't get a red shirt. Where's your red shirt, then?
Well, I was going to say O'Neill, but who do you want to do?
O'Neill.
There was the old man that died.
The old man that died. See, I didn't get one because I thought you were going to grab one.
I told you.
You know,
I told you couldn't find one.
I really, you know, here's the thing.
Okay. All right.
We
don't have a red shirt for this episode.
Because
no red shirt died in this episode. Not even a yellow shirt. Nobody died. So
a denizen died.
Yeah, an old man died.
An old man, yeah. But I pick Lieutenant Leslie, who was killed by the Dichronium cloud creature in the original series Obsession.
Is this the same guy that played O'Hurley?
Oh, I have no idea, actually. No, it wasn't.
Is that the same guy that played Rizzo?
No, O'Hurley, he played Rizzo. He died in two episodes.
Oh.
but we'll get to him later.
You just picked Lieutenant Leslie. All right.
I picked Lieutenant Leslie because he got killed by a cloud vampire who sucked all his blood.
You know, and we were talking about Planet of the Vampires earlier.
Well, so. We were. It all comes around full circle.
Our audience, everyone, raise a glass.
Ooh, I'm out of beer.
Oh. And cheers to
Lieutenant Leslie.
May he rest in peace.
There we go. Moment of silence. Silence is being
momented.
Is being momented by us for a moment or two. We're still thinking about it. So anyway.
All right. Hey.
Quiet. We're being quiet now. Quiet.
I'm done.
Are we done?
We're done.
Okay.
Hey, joy to you, Dad.
Joy to you and peace and tranquility.
And
should we
end this thing?
Make it so. Have to give me a little time before you start. I'm hitting the stop button.
You do.